arranged to go home, and by the time Doug got home, he got a phone call from John Drain saying that he had crashed the plane. So Doug was probably 5, 6, 7 miles away from John Drain's, but he immediately, as he drove his car, he phoned his mother and he said, pray John Drain was in a plane crash. Now, I was thinking of what Pearl said. She didn't know what she was supposed to pray for when John, her brother, told her that pray for Pascal. She didn't even know who Pascal was. But anyways, as John or Doug drove from his house to John Drain's, he phoned his mother and he said, pray, and he didn't give her very much information. So Georgina headed into the bedroom and she was praying in the spirit. Anyways, when Doug said he was less than 4 minutes getting to the plane crash, and said he drove 160 kilometers an hour. And when he got there was a police cruiser sitting in front of where the plane was burning. And Doug just jumped out of his car, left the door open, and run down towards where the plane was on fire. And the police officer kept yelling, you can't go in there, you can't go in there, stop, stop. And Doug said he just turned around and he said to the officer, this is my friend in there and I'm going in. Now, a lot of people doesn't realize it, but you know that friend that we have is Jesus. And you know he never leaves us, he never forsakes us, never. Doesn't matter whether you think you're right or you think you're wrong, and a lot of people live and die and never realize that the battlefield is the mind. They never put it together. And I'm going to verify what I've said to you, and I'm going to use Julie Trotter's testimony to verify it, and then I'm going to use John Trotter's testimony to verify it. But when she received healing for the sockets in her hips, she immediately, Satan said to her immediately, if you go and dance, you're going to fall and hit your head on the counter. Now, a lot of people don't understand that, and the Lord said to me, he said, the body of Christ has to realize that the battlefield's the mind. They have to know beyond any shadow of doubt that Satan is a liar, he's the father of all lies, and the only access he has to the man is the carnal nature, which is the mind. Because he said, when I said I stripped him of all power and authority and made a show of him openly, he said he stripped. He said, I removed the keys of hell and death from him. The only power he has is to give you a wrong thought and then you to act on that thought or not act on the word. And he said, why it's important to have the word in your heart, because he said it's the word that defeats every situation. But he said it has to be in your heart. Anyways, and he said to John Trotter, John's testimony was, because I asked John Trotter, he said, God said to me, when are you going to receive your healing, John? And John said, well, I'm waiting on you. And then my understanding was God said immediately, well, if you're waiting on me, you'll wait for eternity. Now, you see, the devil don't care what you believe, long as you don't believe the truth. It doesn't matter who you are. And that's why the battlefield's the mind. Anyways, after that accident with John Drain was in, we go get in the car and we go to the emergency room in Peterborough, and there's 12 or 14 or 16 people in there. And Daryl, his brother, called me aside and he said, John is in a lot worse shape than he's telling us. And I said, well, I don't know that. I said, I just go by what John told me. And well, he said, yeah, he's in a lot worse shape than he's telling us. Anyways, I said, well, I don't know. But I went in and I was standing talking to John Drain, and I was real close to him. He was laying on the stretcher, and I said to him, John, how did you get out of the plane? And his eyes teared up, and he said, I couldn't get the door open, couldn't get my seat belt off. He said, my feet were so hot, he said, I couldn't hardly handle the heat in my boots. And he said, I hollered out, God help! And he said, I was out of the plane instantly. And I said to him, "What do you mean you're out of the plane instantly?" And I mean, there was 12 other people standing around, and I'm standing talking to John Drain laying on the stretcher. He said, instantly, he said, the seatbelt popped open. He said, I shoved my feet up against the windshield and pushed it out. And he said, I went out the windshield, down to the ground 20 feet, and everything was on fire outside because he just filled the plane full of gas. And he said, as I was going out the windshield, he said, my boot laces caught in the instruments on the dash, and he said, I was hanging straight down, and he said, I had to leave my boots in the plane. And I said, that's really rough. Now you have to buy a new pair of boots. And he laughed. So he said, then I rolled away from the fire, and he said, when Doug got to me, he said, the fire was within 5 feet of me. Now, I'm telling you, God never fails. It doesn't matter what it looks like to us, but God never fails. There's no shadow of turning in him. Anyways, John Drain, he goes from Peterborough to Toronto, and 8 days later, they operate on his back. His back was broken, and what else? Other things were, but the main thing was his back. But he said, a doctor came into his room and he said, we got a new type of operation. And he said, if you're interested, he said, we'll do that operation on your back. And John Drain told me with his mouth, he said, I knew immediately I was supposed to have that operation. So he had that operation and he was back home in 2 or 3 days. And I was talking to John Drain probably three weeks ago. And he said to me, he said, I fell 180 trees this week. And he said, I could never take and push on a tree, he said, without having problems with my back. He said, I have no back problems whatsoever. Doug told me with his mouth, he said, John Drain walks faster today and more straight than he ever did in his life. Now, I'm telling you, the mercy and the goodness of God is beyond even our capability of thinking. And you know, a lot of people never realize that every thought that comes into their head is not their thought. God said to me, he said, why would you consider that to be your thought? He said, every thought that comes into your head is not your thought. And he said, I've told you, he said, the heart of the man is desperately wicked. He said, your heart may do anything. He said, I'm not talking about your spirit. But he said, the carnal nature of the man, that's where Satan has his power. And he said, when the church body realizes that the man is defeated because of the wrong thoughts that he receives and thinks are his thoughts, he said, that when they realize that those are not their thoughts, he said, it's going to change their lives supernaturally. Because he said, my son, he said, has paid the price in full for everything you ever need, everything you'll ever require. And he said, it has no bearing on whether you fail or you don't fail. Because he said, my son never fails. And a woman came over to the apartment. She was had here about a couple months ago. And she had terminal cancer. She had hit a guy with a motorcycle and killed the guy with a motorcycle. And she said to me, Georgina was downstairs cleaning steps or something, and she said to me, she said, I'm paying the priest to get my husband out of purgatory. And I said, oh. I said, how much do you owe? And she didn't comment. I said, really, I don't want to know. But I said, I'm going to tell you something, Madeline. I said, he's stealing your money. I said, I don't know where purgatory is. I said, I don't even care where it is. But I said, I'm going to tell you the truth. I said, either your husband went up or he went down. And I said, no matter which way he went, I said, it's finished. So I said, if you're paying the priest money, I said, you're wasting your money. So I said to her, Madeline, I said, do you know there won't be any Catholics in heaven? And she cried pretty hard. And she said, what do you mean? I said, there won't be. She said, "Dave," she said, "I'm really an ungodly woman." And the Lord said to me, he said, "Tell her that that's who I died for." He said, "Tell her I didn't die for the righteous man." He said, "I died for the ungodly." And she cried really hard, just sobbed and sobbed there at the window. And I said to her, "Madeline, would you like to go to heaven?" And she looked like death. If you've ever seen death, she looked like death in the natural. That's what she looked like. And she's standing at the window at the kitchen. I'm sitting at the end of the table. I don't even know what I was doing. And she said, "What do you mean I can go to heaven?" I said, "Well, certainly." I said, "That God just told you he died for the ungodly." And I said, "You already testified that you're the ungodly." So I said, "He died for you." And she cried a little more. And I said to her, "Madeline," I said, "it's so simple to go to heaven." I said, you have to be brain dead to miss it." And she looked at me crying again. And I said, "Do you believe that Jesus is God's son?" And she said, "Yes, I've always believed that." I said, "Well, then do what he said. Open your mouth and say, 'Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father God, for eternal life.'" She stood and looked at me. And I said, "I thought you said you wanted to go to heaven." And she said, "I do." Well, then I said, "Do what God said." She said, "Tell me that again." I said, "Madeline, say, 'Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for eternal life.'" And she went from death to life instantly. Instantly. You wouldn't even have known she was the same woman. She went downstairs. They were having a little gathering, all the women downstairs, 10 or 11 of them. And she told them, she said, well, they had been all praying and hoping and praying she'd get born again and go to heaven. She said, "Well, it's too late." She said, "I was up talking to Dave Bennett." She said, "I got him born again and I'm on my way to heaven." And she died. She died 4 days later. She missed all that court case. They charged her with everything, the police, like we're hitting the guy and careless driving and everything. And she missed that cancer and everything. She just left this world and went right straight to glory. And you know, that's what's available, and it's available to the most ungodly person in the universe. Georgina said that Skell, and she made an error, was brain dead. He was not brain dead. His heart, he picked up a virus, and 40% of his heart shut down. And there's three people with the same thing he had. There's a nurse that's in a coma with it, and there's somebody else in Havelock that had it. So it was a virus that they picked up somewhere. But all this stuff, this is what the Lord said to me, all this stuff is out there in the universe. He said, that's why, he said, you better understand that my blood of my son never fails. And he said, be wise enough to apply it. He said, keep yourself covered. He said, I didn't say you're not going to be attacked. He said, I said, keep yourself covered. And he said, when you understand that your mind doesn't always just think right in line with the Word of God, it can think anything. He said, just stop and consider where the thought came from. Because he said, if it's not my word, he said, it's not my thought. So I just wanted to share that with you. And I mean, I could sit and talk or stand and talk here for hours, because I don't go anywhere that I don't talk about Jesus. I was up cutting trees here one day last week. I usually cut wood pretty well every day. And you know, I've cut a lot of trees. And I mean, you know, even at my age, at 80, some days I'm not too much smarter than I was when I was 20. But anyways, I cut a tree, and a dead oak about this big around. And I knew I shouldn't be on the bottom side of the tree. But anyways, it looked like it was going to fall and miss these other trees. And it fell, and it hit this tree. And when it hit this tree, it came back, and it hit me here. And I landed from here to the outside stove, and all I had was a little wee part of my kneecap skinned up. And, you know, I thought, well, I better phone Jacob and see if he can come and give me a hand. And then I thought, well, I got my phone out and a phone, but he never answered. So then I got up, climbed back up the hill and picked up the chainsaw and went back to work. And then I thought, well, maybe I better quit for the day. So I was just walking down the hill, and Doug come along. And he said, what were you doing? Oh, I said, fell a tree up there, and I got hit. And he didn't put any wrong words out. He might have put them out to somebody else, but he didn't put them out to me. But I said, I'm fine. He said, are you hurt? I said, no. He said, did you not get hurt? I said, no. He said, where'd it hit you? I said, right across here. And he said, "Where'd you end up?" I said, "Down there in the bottom of the hill." And the Lord said to me, as plain as if you said it to me, he said, "I am never short of power." He said, "I'm never short of able." He said, "Do you know how many times I've saved your life?" I said, "Yes, many, many, many times." And I said, "Times that I didn't know anything about. I mean, I have been in the vehicle, in my vehicle, driving." If you could ask Georgina, she's always accusing me of driving too fast. I was doing 140 kilometers an hour on 401 one night. It was raining hard, and we were just coming across 401 just by Bowmanville. And some guy had passed me on the right-hand side and jumped right in front of me and jammed on the brakes. And I thought he was being ignorant, you know. I didn't really say anything, and all of a sudden, he wasn't being ignorant. He was stopped. And we went from 140 to, I don't know, maybe I got down to 60 kilometers. I had the trailer on and 15 cans of gas, and I don't know what all I had on the trailer coming back from Ohio. And we, the Lord, moved us around that stopped vehicle, and everything stopped like that, and you wouldn't even have known the traffic was stopped. One time, Doug and I was coming home from up at Timmins, and Doug was ahead, and I was looking for Doug because I knew he had the dog, and I figured, well, he'd be stopping to let the dog go to the bathroom. And I just looked out of the corner of my eye, and I seen Doug back a side road parked with the dog out. And when I looked back again, Mike Spice was with me, and my friend from the state. When I looked back again, there was a woman with a brand new SUV parked right in the center of the highway on a curb, talking on her phone. And automatically, we were around that vehicle and went right on as if there wasn't even a vehicle there. And Mike Spice said to me, he said, "Man, how'd you do that?" I said, "I didn't." I said, "It has nothing to do with my abilities." I said, "That's the God that I serve. Even though I make lots of errors, he never makes any." And I myself personally will tell you that the more I live, the longer I live, the more I realize and understand each day how much God's love is unconditional. Amen. There's no conditions on it. He loves us beyond we can even fathom or think. And he has nothing but good for us. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what it feels like. As the Lord said to me, I was having problems with my knee, and he said to me, he said, "Are you healed?" Because he said, "Your knee's working all right." And I said, "No." He said, "Are you healed because of the doctor's report?" I said, "No." He said, "Are you healed because you have no pain in your knee?" I said, "No." He said, "What are you basing your believing on?" I said, "I'm basing it on you. I'm basing it on that the stripes that Jesus took at Calvary has already paid for my healing." And do you know something? Healing didn't show up the next morning. But I'll tell you, it showed up. All you have to do is rest. He said to me, "I've set before you life and blessing, death and cursing." And he said, "If you understand what I've just said to you," he said, "control that thing under your nose, what comes out of your mouth." He said, "If you listen to people," he said, "no matter where you go," he said, "you'll know where they're at in their spirits." He said, "You'll hear what they say. Oh, I've had such a headache. Ain't feeling good. Had the cold, blah, blah, blah." And he said, "It doesn't do them any good except they sign for their ticket." He said, "And I don't know who they're trying to convince." He said, people already know that they have those symptoms. But he said, they take that disease or that attack with that thing under their nose. He said, "I didn't tell you you would miss the attack," but he said, "I told you that you got a sign for it with your tongue." And he said, "That's what I said, the tongue of the wise is life." So he said, "Use your tongue wisely." Okay, well, I guess Brother John can preach now.
Amen. Oh, that was good. That was wonderful. Amen. I'm just going to add one thing to what he said, not add to it. I'm just going to tell you part of that story. Because we Julie and I, when he had the accident, we went straight to Toronto where they flew him. And what I thought was neat was what Dave said is 100% right. He actually just keeps, he's smart enough to keep his mouth shut. Like he didn't, he just said, just, anyways. And we went into the room and they weren't going to let us in. And I said, well, I'm his minister. And I'm his friend. I'm really not his minister though, because he goes to another church, but he wanted me to come. And so we prayed for him and he told us the exact same thing. Like the flames were everywhere and there was no way he was going to get out. And the doors wouldn't open, the windows wouldn't open. And he said, I don't know what happened all of a sudden. And I just kicked that window and it opened. And he said, out I went and then my boots got stuck and the flames were, and he said, I don't even know how I got out, but I got out and landed on the ground, rolled away. And then the thing blew up. But what I thought was neat was this, is he said, would you pray for us? And so we started to, we just prayed the prayer of faith. And Julia in the spirit, and he still, I was down to see him 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, and just had a visit with him around Christmas time. Is that 2 or 3 weeks ago? And we sat there for an hour and a half and just talked about God. That's all we talked about was God. Because it changed his life. It really changed him from now, from when I knew him before. And my wife, we started to pray, and my wife got a picture of his back. And she told him exactly what was wrong with his back in a picture. The exact same thing the doctor told him later, right? It wasn't then. The doctor told him the next day. And that's why he knew to fix that. Yeah. Yeah. And he said what Julia told him was exactly what the doctor said. And God doesn't show you things without being involved in stuff. It's just, that's why God shows us, tells us things in the Word, because then you can give, put faith in that, and everything operates. And God shows you things about your situation. And I just encourage people today, you know what? Every one of us are going in life, and we're all going through different things. And but you just stick with God and just speak the Word of God, and your life will go just greater and greater and greater. You know, I want to share something, and then I'm going to give it to Harry. Harry's, I'll give him the last 20 minutes. But I've been talking about seeking God first. And my son, I sit my kids down, just so you know, and I tell my kids, you need to put God first in your life. Because God will help you in your marriages. God will help you in your jobs. Because the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all the other things in your life will be added unto you. And how many times do we know this? That in life, what do you do? What do you usually use your energy on? Us people. Things we need, or things we desire, or places. So we get caught up sometimes, and Jesus said, if we'll seek him, all the other things that we need will be added. But we spend our time trying to attain the things that we need in our life, and we leave God out of it, or he's over here. And I want to tell you something, that my life, the life I lived, just as Dave just said, the mercy of God, like I didn't deserve one thing from God, the life I lived. And when I got born again, I didn't even know enough to, I just fell in love with God because he forgave me and loved me the way I was. And I was still messed up. And I started to seek God. And I want to tell you something, one by one by one, every desire, every dream, everything that I had in my heart that I wanted in this life, God brought every one of them to pass in my life. Over, and it's still taking place in my life. And the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. And I thought it was amazing because this week we've been very busy. Julie's been in Toronto. I was in Niagara Falls. And then I was in Huntsville. And then I was in Sutherland, or Sunridge? North anyways. Right on 11. And so we had a lot of time with my son. And so my son loves church and he loves God. All my kids do, but my little Isaac hates to miss church. And I said to him, we're going to get up really early in the morning, and he don't like getting up early in the morning. And I said, so we can go home and be at church. And he says, okay, I'll get up early. And so on the way up, it wasn't on the way home. On the way home, he slept once we got in the car. But on the way up, we were talking. He always talks to me about God. Even before he fell asleep, he was asking me why people don't love God. Because God is the one that helps us in our life. And I said, it's not because they don't love God. Most people don't know anything about how good God is. Because God loves people. Not only does he take care of you spiritually, he takes care of you physically and naturally. And he cares about what you care about. And he's the one that can bring your desires to pass in your life. Like, I look at Dave Bennett. I'm not being smart. Dave Bennett looks the same now as he did when he was 60 years old. And he's 80 years old. Doesn't he not, Pearl? Has he changed in 50, I've known him for not 50 years. I guess I'm only 48, but he hasn't changed. I'm in better health today than I was a year ago. I know you were. And I'm in better health today than I was 5 years ago. Well, and I never talked about my health. I know. You preached already once today. No, but what I'm just teasing Dave. But what I'm saying is, what people might say things about Dave because Dave says, watch your words and do this over the years. But I'll tell you, look at the man. Like, Dave Bennett has not changed in 25 years that I've known him. He looks the same. He was cutting firewood and fishing back then, and he's cutting firewood and fishing today. And works a little bit, don't you? No. People can say what they want. But when you speak the word out of your mouth, you get God's results. And I said to my son on the way up, he said to me, well, you talk about seeking God. How do you seek God? I said, well, because you know, the Bible says if we come to him like a child, I said, you talk to God. If when daddy was seeking mommy, that's how I know. I was chasing mommy down. And I said, I tried to, wherever she was, I tried to just show up there and pretend I was just like, oh, hi, how are you? I said, when she was pumping gas at the gas station, I got her to wash my windshield so I could look at her longer. I even went to her house and did a basement for her dad for free. And I wasn't even really serving God then. But I said, I did whatever it took to get that woman because I liked her. I said, I did a pool block basement for free, laid all the blocks, but I had to get her to carry, right? Only Julia can bring the blocks. And she helped me. I did whatever it took to get her. And I said, if you'll just do the same thing with God, Isaac, And I said, just talk to God. Don't do it in front of people because they think you're crazy. I said, I don't go in a room and talk to God. But I said, I go by myself. And I said, but I don't think you're crazy and you don't think I'm crazy. So I said, let's just talk to God. So I talked to God like I talked to Julie or like I would you. So I said to Isaac, let's just talk to God for an hour. So I just said, Lord, I love you. Thanks for... And so he said, Lord, I love you. Thanks. Like he was saying the same. I said, don't say the same thing as me. I said, you talk to God all by yourself. And so he just talked to God. And the Bible says this, if you'll seek me, you'll find me. Well, you just need to go out of your way and just say, God, good morning. And I want to tell you something. He'll start talking to you. And he'll start showing you things. He'll start showing you ways out of your, how to get out of your messes and how to get in God's plans. Because the Bible says the voice, my sheep know my voice and the voice of a stranger, they'll not hear. And I talked about this last night and I talked to Caleb. I said, when my wife phones me, she doesn't have to say, hi, John, it's Julia calling. Because I said I talk to her all the time and I know her voice. But I have other people that phone me on the lake that I know, but I don't talk to them a lot. And I talk to them long enough to trying to figure out who they are. Because I don't want to say to them, I don't know who you are. And sometimes I have to just say, look, I'm so sorry. I don't know who I'm talking to. And they'll say, well, it's Sue, but I don't remember anybody's names. I say, where do you live? What lake are you on? What road are you on? And I embarrass. So why don't I know their voice? Because I don't talk to them a lot. So if you talk to God, you're going to get to know his voice. And he'll talk to you and he'll show you out of things. He'll show you how to deal with things. He'll show you. I tell you something, this year I've gotten this. You need to seek God first. How do you do that? The only way I know how to seek God is the way I seek her, is you just chase him, say God, and you just make him a part of your life every day. And so we spent an hour talking to God, and he talked to God. I said, God will help you. If you seek him, he'll help you in hockey. You seek him, he'll help you in your life. He'll get you a nice woman like he got me. Really? I said, oh yeah, he'll get you a good one. He'll help you in your whole life. God just wants you to be a part of his life and he wants you to love him. And that's what I'm telling you today. If you'll seek God, all the things in life will be added. He will add to your life one after another, after another, after another, after another. He'll just add to your life. So that's what I encourage people coming into this year is to seek the kingdom of God and love what God loves. And God loves people. So love God and love people and God will work out your whole life. And you'll be better in a year than you were in 2 years and 3 years. And you'll look back and you'll think, like I look back, Harry, come on up here, just while I'm telling this story. I look back and I remember, and I'm just going to say this because I think this is amazing. When I was young, I was in trouble with the law all the time. And you knew that. And after I gave my heart to Jesus, God transformed my life. And I remember I was praying in. I was praying. John Trotter, that can't even hardly read, and got asked to pray our MPPs in, and MPs, for our government of Ontario. And I went in the room and kicked the guy beside me, because I was going by, I was so nervous, because he had his leg out, and it was the head guy for the Ontario, the chief of police. And he looked at me and he said, do I know you? And I knew him. It was Sergeant Watkins that used to be in Apsley when I was a boy. And I said, yeah, you do know me. And he says, what's your name? John. I said, I'm John Trotter from Apsley. And he looked at me and said to me, what are you doing here? I said, I'm praying. He looked and said, yeah, right. I said, I am. That's what God can do in somebody's life. He can take somebody that's sort of just messing their whole life up, and you give him your life and your heart, and he'll just make something great out of something not great. Because I know who he is, and I know who I am, and I'm thankful I got him. Amen?
Well, good morning. What a service so far. Now they have me up at the last. I'm going to put you to sleep, I guess. Is that my job? So I usually talk about how to keep everybody healthy. But today I just kind of like it's a testimony morning. I was just going to share a little bit of testimony about myself. I kind of grew up in church, but I never really knew God was real until I was maybe 40, my 40th birthday, and that was just coming up 24 years ago. And I've went through a lot, and I've had a heck of an education in church stuff and religion and godly and ungodly people. It's just been an amazing thing. So I just wanted to share some of them things with you. I was, a friend of mine was kind of helping in ministry a bit sometimes, and he got a little position there. And this fella knows the Bible probably better than anybody I know. He knows all the interpretations in Hebrew and Greek and everything like that. And he's just an amazing person. And then one day, somebody that didn't really like the position that he got was kind of getting back at him and said, you shouldn't be here. You got a demon in you. And he told me that, and I thought, man, well, this guy totally fell to pieces. He says, what do I do now? I got a demon in me. What do I do now? And I thought, my goodness, my goodness. So sometimes when people know the Bible inside and out, they know the Hebrew translation, they know the Greek and all that kind of stuff, quite often they get to the point where their knowledge of the Bible becomes their God instead of the God of the Bible becomes their knowledge. And it's kind of sad sometimes, but I see that happening quite a bit in my walk that I've taken. So I tried to work with him and try to get him straightened around a little bit. But it kind of reminds me of when I had became a... What happened is my son was very, very sick in the hospital and was dying. And this person come to pray for him and said God told her if she come, if could anoint my son with oil, that he would live. And it was a totally impossible thing, but it ended up that she did come, and then she actually did pray for me, and I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior that morning. After, I guess, that early that morning, I gave Jesus a piece of my mind. I didn't even know if he was real. I kind of went to a denominational church all my life, most of the time, and I went to church mostly to get a good sleep, because I thought I was out late the night before, and the preacher was boring, so I get a good sleep, and I made my mother happy, and I thought everything went along pretty good. So then after this happened, I went to this pastor, and I don't talk denominations because sometimes people think that one denomination's better than the other denominations. I find that there's good and bad in them all, so I don't put one up above another. So anyways, I went to this pastor, and I said, thank you for praying for my son. I said, I come to apologize that I've slept in your church for I forget how many years, but I said, I never knew God was real. I said, I've seen some major miracles happen. I says, I know God is real. And he's kind of looking at me funny. I says, I'm so sorry I slept in your church all these years. I says, I'm not the only one. I think most of the church is sound asleep. I know this fella that come out and give some testimony, and he will wake these people up so they will know that God's real. This guy looked at me, this pastor looked at me, and he said, you can't do that. I said, why not? He says, if these people ever find out God's real, he says, 90% of them would leave the church. I says, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. So this guy had a fancy title and letters after his name. I remember my son asking me, what do all those things mean? I says, to me, I think he just kissed enough rear ends on the way up to get all these positions and stuff. So so anyways, I obviously didn't go back to that church anymore. And I did find, I was led to another church, and it was a kind of like this. It was a full gospel church, and it was pretty awesome. I met speakers from all over the world. It was really great. And as time went on, I helped this pastor. I helped him establish everything more than probably helped anybody else. And then I noticed as we were getting along there that quite often I thought maybe that the pastor was not really following what God was doing. He's more exalting himself and more more going away of religion rather than what God wanted us to do. So I called him up on it a few times, and needless to say, I was not in his good books too much after that. So he come to me one day and said that I need deliverance, that I've got a pile of demons in me. And I was very, like I've been to, like I said, I was asleep in the church anytime I went, so I didn't know. I didn't know anything about demons or what they do or what they don't do, so it was quite new to me. So then he says, I lined you up a deliverance ministry in Bowmanville. I want you to go there and get delivered. I said, delivered from what? And then he had, God, they gave a list to this. They told me I had the demon of infirmity, the demon of rage, anger, lust, pornography, and a bunch of other ones that I won't mention. And I got thinking to myself, I says, my God, if I got all these demons in me, I don't even have enough room for breakfast. So then I have to tell you that I know that I'm far, far from perfect, but I know who I am in Christ. And I like what Pastor John and Julia do all the time. They try to help somebody. I try the same thing. I try to help somebody every day that I can have the opportunity. And so I'm not a great person, but I'm not the worst thing that ever walked down Apsley here. I know that. So I kind of knew who I was. So I'd never heard of this stuff before, so I thought, well, I'll go and see what happens. So I went, and this little pastor was there, it was just the one, and they had this whole report, and he was, I think I got there at 1 o'clock or something, and he was just jumping and putting me down all the time about how bad I was, how many bad decisions I made in my life, and all this stuff, and I used to be pretty good at arguing and defending myself, but I thought, you're better off not to say too much and to learn more. So then I kind of just said, yeah, and just went on with everything. And he finally did this for a solid hour, putting me down. And I got thinking, I says, my God, what kind of God do they serve here that puts you down all the time? And so anyways, he says, okay. He says, now we're going into the back room. And so we go in the back room. He hands me this big bucket, about a 2 or 3 gallon bucket. I says, what's this for? He says, when I pray, he says, you're going to puke up all your demons. I said, I'm going to what? because I got a pretty strong stomach, I don't think I'd been sick to my stomach in over 30 years. So I was thinking, you're going to what? So then he gets me to stand there, and then he says, we're going to pray, and now all the demons are going to come out of you. So then he gets praying and praying and praying, and then he starts jumping and screaming and yelling, and then he actually punched my belly a few times. He says, come on up, come on up, come on up. And I'm standing there, wow, I didn't know this would happen. So after he wore himself right out, he finally stopped and he said, you're not cooperating. I said, cooperating with what? and he says, those demons are supposed to come out of you. I says, are you sure they're in there? So I went on my way home. I thought, boys, oh boys, I didn't know that things like this even happened. I says, what an education this was. So I got back, and then the pastor that had accused me of all these things, he said, I understand you didn't cooperate. I said, oh. He says, so. He says, to get you delivered from all these things, he says, we're going to send you to a major, major deliverance center in Orangeville. I goes, wow, I wonder what goes on there. So I thought, maybe I should go to get more education here. So I ended up going there, but a month later, people brought me there. They thought I was going to come back in a body bag or something. I'm not sure what they were thinking. But anyways, I got there. Instead of one pastor, there was three. There was a man and two lady pastors were there, and they were doing this great big deliverance ministry, and I was their next victim. And so I get up there, and they had read my profile, and the ladies would not, I'm not against the lady pastors or anything, or speak ill of them, but they didn't even want to shake my hand or look at me. I mean, I was that bad of a guy. And good job that the guy was leading these trio there, because he asked me some pretty personal questions. He talked to me probably for three quarters of an hour. And he finally stopped and he prayed. And I thought, man, this guy almost makes some sense. So when that was all done, he finally stood up and he said to the ladies, he says, I see nothing wrong with this guy. He says, all these accusations against him are false. He says, I see nothing wrong with this guy at all. And the ladies hardly, he says, well, he says, if you have anything else to add to that, he says, do it now. They were just kind of grinding their teeth and standing there. They didn't know what to say. So finally he says, thank you for coming and go on home. I thought, wow, there's some sensible people in these organizations, some places. So I was kind of impressed that way. Anyways, I don't want to make this story too long or anything, because it's getting time. And I had so many things I wanted to say. Now, I do believe that Satan, no, some people tell me there's no such thing as Satan or a devil. I said, well, you can believe what you want, but I says he's real in my life. And I says, there's good and there's evil. I says, and if there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to get rid of. I said, so there's always the two ends of the thing. And I got to the point where I think that if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've got the Holy Spirit living in you, if Satan comes along and says to the Holy Spirit, can you move over a little bit on this guy so have room for me and my buddies? I don't think it's going to happen. so uh, I do believe that Satan or the devil can have quite an influence on you, and he works through the spiritual ways and the powers of, it's in Ephesians anyways, I was going to read it to you, in Ephesians 6 and 12, but what else was I going to say? I was going to say that I do not believe that he can occupy a body that belongs to God. I don't think there's room for him. But I do believe that the enemy will attack you in three main ways. And the first way is through family and friends. The second way is through your health and well-being. And the third way is through your finances. And that's the way that he'll try to attack you generally, if he's going to attack you. And if we are serving God and trying to do what's right, he will attack you. And so when people come up to me and say, I've got so many problems, this is going wrong, that's going wrong, he says, oh, what will I do? I says, well, you got to look at it different. I said, it's a good thing, because I says, if you were doing everything wrong, what Satan likes, I said, he'd leave you alone. But if you're doing stuff to serve the Lord and you're making a difference, Satan will not leave you alone. So I wanted to read the one scripture in Mark. It was Mark 3:20-27, if I got time here. It says, and then the multitudes came together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of demons, he casts out demons. So he called them to himself, and he said to them in parables, this is Jesus speaking, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if the house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself, and he is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. And it says, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he is first binds up the strong man, and then he can plunder his house. And I do, to me, how I interpret that is the fact that a demon cannot occupy your body unless you let him in. And most of us are smart enough not to let him in the first place. So it's just like the strong man. You're gonna take stuff out of his house. You have to get rid of him or bind him up first. And the same with us. We have to bind up what the Lord promised us to let Satan in. And I know I had a, you get talking about this. I know at the outreach one time I had a guy preaching about once saved, always saved. It's quite a thing sometimes. And he said, there's no way ever you can lose your salvation. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ, there's no way ever you can lose your salvation. He says, so you're good for the rest of your life, no matter what you do or when you do it or how you do it. So I was listening to him, and I went up to him afterwards. I says, boy, that is pretty interesting. I said, I'm just thinking here. I said, now, I said, I do believe we're under the new covenant, and Jesus never changes his mind or throws that away. But I said, he did give us a free will. I said, so if he forces you to do something, that's not a free will. I says, so are you telling me that God's kind of a liar to not give you a free will? And he had no answer for that. So needless to say, he didn't come to the outreach too much anymore. But I do believe that God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. The only thing we can do is throw them away ourselves. And if we are as wise as we should be, we'd never do that, because He is the answer to everything. And if you have a problem, there's no problem too big or too small for Him. And all I do is encourage you to keep up the good work. And one thing you never have to worry about is this church here. I don't think the pastor's going to come running up to you and tell you you're full of demons or anything. So anyways, thank you. Hope you didn't sleep too much. And God bless.
Thank you, Harry. Well, we love you, and we thank God for you. And what Harry's saying, and the Bible says the devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And it's up, just like Dave said earlier, it's up to us to lay hold of those promises and speak what God said. So, amen. We win, right? We win because Jesus won the battle for us. And we're so thankful. Father, Lord, I just thank you and I just praise you, Father. And I just glorify you. I thank you, Lord, that you love people so much. You care about people so much. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, that this church family, you're using us to reach people for Jesus, to stand in the gap, using us to touch the communities around us. And Father, we just thank you and we just praise you for it. And we give you glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're glad you come today. You heard a lot today. It was good. Amen.
Eternal.